Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to John Talk Radio. This is our January the 13th, 2018 show. We started doing this show in November of 2008, and we've been having a lot of fun. The opening song you heard tonight, the intro song, was Amelia K. Spicer, and we like to promote our artists that we have on the shows. And you can go to her website, ameliakspicer.com. and figure out how amazing this lady is. She has a great career in music. But we would like to welcome our guest tonight, our special guest tonight, Wendy Ferguson. Wendy is a stand-up comedian in Ohio. And Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. And first of all, what I would like to do is, what I sometimes forget to do, Wendy, is to talk about how can people contact you? If someone wants to get Wendy Ferguson to be a part of their show or to do a comedy show or be a part of things and hire you, is there a way they can do that? And do you have like a website or something, a way that people can contact you?
Yeah, so they can get a hold of me on Facebook. I post a lot of my dates on there, and I have a comedy webpage on Facebook. And you spell my name, both of my names are spelled different. It's Wendy, W-E-N-D-I, Ferguson with a U, F-U-R-G-U-S-O-N. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, all those things, all the social media stuff. And I have a page on YouTube as well where they can watch some of my videos. And I do a show with a fellow comedian, Luke Capasso. You can check him out also. We do a series called Smoking Crack in the Caravan with Comics. And it's a pretty quirky, funny show, and we interview local comedians.
And we
have a great time with it.
That is very funny. I've seen those, and they really are funny. And it's kind of interesting, Wendy, about comedy, and we're going to talk about comedy and stand-up comedy and what it takes to be a comedian and make people laugh and why, you know, you made that choice to do that, because in our world today, it's kind of, there can be a lot of things going on, and it's one of the greatest things that can happen in a person's life is if they can laugh, and it kind of turns their life around. Yeah. So how about any gigs? Do you have any gigs coming up or any shows you would like to talk about?
I have one coming up January 26th at Uncle Louie's in Wilmington, Ohio. We have some great comedians. We have Carlin Haggerty, Lori Graves, our host Joe Young, Gary Henry, and myself, and it's going to be a really good show. I think it's $5 at the door, and we're going to have a really good time.
That's a really good price. I mean, you can't beat that. $5 to go
not
to hear all those
many comedians. No,
that's really good. And so, so I wanted to get that out of the way because I really think it's important for people to know how they can contact you, and also, you know, what if there's a gig they can go and hear Wendy Ferguson's live comedy set, which is really cool. Okay, so let's talk about how you got started. What was it, Wendy, that made you think, wow, I want to be a comedian. I want to do this. I want to make people laugh. I want to get on stage. I want to see what I can do. Well, first of all, the first question is, when did you know you wanted to do that? And then we'll talk about your influences and your experiences. But when did you know growing up that that's what you wanted to do?
I was fairly young. I was born in 73, so I watched the old Saturday Night Lives with John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and Steve Martin and the awesome Gilda Radner. I used to watch that show as a kid, and I would go around mocking the wild and crazy guys, and
yep.
I would always mock people, and my mom just thought that was hilarious, and so did my dad. But when I knew I really wanted – I always thought, wow, how do them people do that? Well, then when I really decided that I wanted to do comedy, I was in the fourth grade, and my sister and I and her cousin, we were at their grandma's house, and we were in the back bedroom listening to Eddie Murphy Delirious on a cassette tape in a tape recorder. And we probably wasn't supposed to be listening to that, but you know, you
that
can
is
hear
incredibly
the audience
funny,
laughing. Though. You could hear the audience laughing, and I was like, wow, I wonder if I could ever do that. But I kind of like pushed it away, but I was always using comedy and stuff all through growing up, and several people in my life, my dad was the biggest one that told me I was going to be a comedian. And my mom had an amazing sense of humor, and we always watched, you know, comedy stuff. Her favorites were George Carlin. She liked Gallagher and Richard Pryor, Red Fox. You know, she had really good taste in comedians, as far as I think. And
oh yeah.
But I got into comedy on a dare. I was it was in 2008. I was living in Johnson City, Tennessee, and my friend George Leonard, if you're ever in Johnson City, check out his club. It's called Capone's, and it's a really nice place. They have bands. They have all types of entertainment. And he dared me. We were all drinking there one night, and he said, if I open up my club on Wednesday, could you bring some people and do comedy? And I was like, are you serious? I said, George, I've never got on stage or wrote a comedy set. I don't even know what I'm doing. And he was like, well, figure it out. Are you going to accept the dare or not? Well, you know, everybody in the group was like, come on.
Oh,
and, you know,
funny.
I have had a couple beers or five, so I was like, okay, cool. Well, a couple days later, my friend Sandy was like, Wendy, you do remember that you're going to do that show? And I was like, was he serious? And she was like, yeah. So I had I went to college, and I had taken speech classes. And, you know, you have to write several papers in school, so I thought, okay, my opening joke has to be good. I have to get their attention right at the beginning. I have to have some meat in the middle, so I have to be funny in the middle, and then I have to have a big closer. Mind you, I'd never done comedy in my life and hadn't been to a comedy show since I was 18.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, dear Lord, what have I signed up for? I put together a 30-minute set. I had about 40 people there, maybe, And my parents sat in the front row and heckled me, and I shut them down.
Oh, that's awesome.
And when I got finished, I went up to George, and I said, how did I do? And his mouth was hanging open, and he said, you're sitting on a gold mine. You were in your second skin up there. Why are you not pursuing this? What is wrong with you?
Oh,
and
wow.
I was like, seriously? And he was like, I think you could do this. Well, then I went to the front of the bar. My parents were getting a drink, and my dad walked over to me. My dad was a pretty, I mean, he was soft-hearted, but he was, like, tough. And I'd only seen my dad cry, like, a handful of times. Well, he came over to me, and he said, you were like a female Dean Martin.
Oh, wow.
He said, you had your drink up there. You were smoking your cigarette. He said, you were making everybody laugh, and his chin was quivering. And he got real emotional, and he said, I'm real proud of you, Runt. And that was his nickname that he called me, Runt. So I did it for like a year and a half, and then some things happened in my life, and I had to quit for a while, and I quit for like 3 years. I moved back to Ohio. I met a friend, and his friend owned those shows at a comedy club in Detroit. I went to Detroit. I did an all-urban show, hadn't been on stage in 3.5 years. Had a panic attack on stage, but I pulled it out my butt, literally, and shook the dust off in the most worst way, and I've been doing it ever since. I've been doing it for 6 years now.
Well, that's just a great story. Let's go back to that when you were first getting on stage for the very first time, and you'd never done it before, and you'd done your prep work, you had your stuff together, you had everything written down, you had it memorized, you were ready to go. When you stood on that stage and you looked out and saw the people and you saw your parents looking at you, how did you feel right there?
Before I got on stage, I was so, like, I felt like I was going to puke, I was sweating, heart was racing, couldn't breathe. And once I got on that stage, and I picked up the mic, and I said my first word, my heart rate went back to normal. I just felt like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And it was the most amazing feeling, for one, to have control over a room like that. For two, for somebody my size, I'm only 2'10", to be standing on a big stage like that and all eyes are on you. And I'm used to all eyes being on me, because I'm little and, you know, I'm a little person and people stare at me a lot, but they weren't staring at me because I was funny looking. They weren't laughing at me because I'm little or whatever. They were laughing because I was making them laugh because I had jokes. And hearing that applause and hearing people laugh was just, it's indescribable. It's exhilarating. It's an adrenaline rush. And I'm addicted.
Well, you know, that's so cool because, and I think your dad was really right on when he said you were in your place. That's where you're supposed to be. And he was really proud of you because he knew you were, that's what you're supposed to do. And I think it's cool, Wendy, because when people get on stage, some people, it's like very nerve-wracking. And I can remember the first time that I ever sang in front of people. And that's kind of like a little bit the same because you're kind of revealing yourself. You're kind of like, you know, you're vulnerable in front of people. You're kind of like, okay, you know, here we go. And, but I felt, I think I sucked most of the time, but I always felt really comfortable doing it. I loved doing it. And it was like, to me, I didn't really care if people liked it or not because I really liked doing it. And it was one of those things where I know what you said when you got on stage and you felt comfortable. You felt like, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah,
this is
I
where
felt
I'm supposed
accepted.
To be. Yeah, that's
that
awesome.
Makes sense because I haven't been accepted in a lot of places I've been because some people, you know how people can be. And I never cared about that. I always went where I wanted and did what I wanted. If I thought I could do it, I worked till I got there. But
right.
I felt accepted. Like I was one of them and we were all the same and we were there to have a good time and laugh. And that connects you to people in a way that other things can't, where if you're just on the street or in a restaurant or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you're
connected
exactly.
to people. And it's universal. But, like, it doesn't matter what color you are, how tall, how skinny, how fat. We're all there to have fun and laugh. And I love that about comedy.
That's a really good thing. I want to talk a little bit about some of your influences because you talked about how that you and your cousins were listening to Eddie Murphy. And that is one of the funniest things. It doesn't matter to me what, if somebody likes a certain type of comedy or they think this is too, you know, controversial or this is, you know, the words he used and stuff like that. You can kind of debate that. But there is no debate on the fact that that is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. He is like this crazy preacher on stage with all this incredible energy going from one side
right.
of the stage to the other. And I think his grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, I think I read an article where his grandfather was a preacher maybe. I'm not sure, but you can tell that style, that like, you know, he had, like you were talking about, he had those people's attention. And
yeah.
Chris Rock is the same way. Chris Rock, his comedy skits to me, you can't stop looking at them. You can't stop it. It's like so intense. Now, what were some of the
right.
when you were watching those guys? You were watching it. You know, Eddie Murphy. Your mom talked about George Carlin. Some of these people. What were some of the things that you picked, Wendy, from these folks that you really liked? That became your style of comedy, because Wendy Ferguson has to have her own style of comedy. What was it that you said, okay, I'm going to pick, I really like Gilda Radner. I really like this. I like that. What was it that you thought, okay, now I want to be original, but who were some of the influences, Wendy, that you had that influenced you in your style of comedy?
Well, I'm not real sure. I know my style is self-deprecating. Because I talk a lot about, you know, everyday things that I go through and that has happened to me being 2'10". And I don't do it in a make fun of me way. I do it in a way where, because I don't want anybody's pity and I don't make you feel sorry for me. I make you laugh about it. And I want to make people aware and think of things that they don't normally think about on a daily basis. And I eventually want to educate people and talk about different things, not just my height, but just accepting people for who they are. And because comedy teaches people, even though you're laughing your butt off, you do learn things, you know?
Right.
And with Eddie Murphy, he talked about his life, and when he talks about his dad, you know, it doesn't sound very nice, but it's hilarious. And to be able to take tragedy and make it funny, that takes a lot of strength, I think.
Yes.
And it's helped me survive a lot of situations because I use comedy as a defense mechanism at times, and it's helped me get through a lot of rough times. George Carlin was phenomenally intelligent. I would love to be that intelligent on stage. Richard Pryor, I mean, wow, he got things started for a lot of people.
Right.
A lot of people. If it wasn't for Richard Pryor, I don't think we would have half of the greats we do, like Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Another one of my favorites is Bill Burr.
Yes, I know him.
And Bill Burr, it's not like he's up there like, because some comedians you listen to, and I'm trying to get away from it myself, some comedians you listen to, it's like, bam, 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 and it's like they're reciting to you. And with Bill Burr and the rest of the comedians I named, it's like they're up there just having a conversation with you because that's how good they are at it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And
yeah, I do.
So that's eventually my goal. I want to sound like I'm just up there. I want to sound like on stage, like I'm just up there having a good time with the audience, and I'm just talking to you. Not like just popping off jokes. You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And you were talking about your mother like Gallagher. Now, that's a total different type of comedy, where his comedy, Wendy, was more like the physical thing, you know, that it was a lot of sight gags and things like that. But it still has to be funny. I mean, a lot of people can do that, but it's not funny. I mean, carrot
mm-hmm.
is it carrot top, carrot head, carrot top?
Yeah. Yeah,
he was kind of like
that. Yeah, he looked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did that kind of stuff.
Exactly, he was. And another person that I loved was Robin Williams. He was phenomenal. Like, you could just give him a word and he could come up with a 20-minute set and make you laugh for the whole entire 20 minutes. Like, that's genius to me.
Right.
To just be able to, well, improv, I guess. And I've noticed I had a game night the other night with a fellow comedian friend of mine, Nate Washington. If you ever get a chance to see him, he's amazing. But we were playing Taboo, and you really have to improv on that. Well, you get two comedians together, and it's just ridiculous. And I made him laugh so hard he had tears. And he was like, oh, my gosh, you're just, like, naturally funny. You make me sick. So for him to tell me that, you know, I love that. I appreciate it immensely because, you know, we all have doubts and we think, well, maybe my comedy's not where, you know, well, maybe I'm not, but, you know, you get doubtful sometimes. Everybody does it no matter what you do in life. And so when somebody tells you, hey, you're doing it right, you're funny, you know, it means a lot. So I want to be able to improv and come off the top of my head, and I'm getting better at that as well. So I'm thankful.
Well, that's very interesting, because I was thinking about this. Say, I'm kind of critical, I have to tell you, with stand-up comedians, and I don't really know why, but I have been, and I've listened to some I didn't think were funny, and I've listened to some that I thought were incredibly funny. I don't know if you know who Dan Swartout is. He's from Columbus.
I've heard of him, but I don't think I've heard his stuff, but a lot of my friends know him. And I've done shows with him, and I've always heard that he's really funny, but I've not had the chance to check him out.
Yeah, Dan's been on this show before, and we talked about some of these things. And one is really important, what I think, when you're talking about improv, because, okay, when you get on stage and you've got to have the material, and you've got to, like, I would imagine it would be like radio, where the worst thing could happen to be dead air, where you just kind of like deer in the headlights type of a thing. So you've got to keep things rolling. Like you were talking, there's a lot going on in a comedy club. I mean, there's people talking, there's people drinking, there's probably one reason I brought up Dan was that he's got a great skit on YouTube where he's doing this, his gig, and there's a bunch of people at a bridal thing, and they're drunk and they're really letting him have it, and it's real. I mean, it's not like pretend.
Yes.
And how he reacts to that, and you were talking about improv. He had to, because there's no way he could have planned that, and how he just kind of – then he went ahead with what they were saying, Wendy, and then he just played off of that. Have you ever had to do anything like that where it's like,
oh,
okay,
yes, and I used to be terrified of it, but now I love it, because here's what a lot of people don't realize with comedians, and I've just realized it myself not too long ago, is we're not only – we're writers, for one, because I write all my own stuff. I mean, I've had friends help me out with jokes and stuff, but I try to write my own stuff. And I've had several good comedian friends give me taglines and everything. And, you know, we all try to help each other out. That's what I love about my comedy community and comedy family. We all try to help each other. But I used to be terrified of hecklers. And then I just thought, you know what? What's the worst that could happen? And I was always terrified of silence. But silence is okay, because I've learned that it's your time up there. You can't let the – as long as you let the audience know you're having fun and you're relaxed, they're going to get your energy, you know? So I try to be – I'm just up here talking and having a good time. That's what I tell myself. These are my friends. I'm just having a conversation, and we're going to have a good time. I've dealt with hecklers, and I can do crowd work now. I used to be terrified of crowd work, because when you ask somebody a question, you got to be prepared that they can say anything, you know,
right.
Or they can yell out anything. And to me, it's a challenge that I love. I was at a particular show in Kettering one time, and I can't remember what I was talking about, but this guy stood up and said something to me, and he was like 6'7". And the first thing that popped into my head was, oh, yeah, well, I bet I could beat you at hide and seek. And everybody got tickled, and he sat right down, and he was like, well, I don't got nothing to say back to that. So
oh,
I shut
funny.
Him down and went on with my stuff, you know. But,
oh,
yeah,
great.
It used to terrify me, but not only are we comedians and writers, we're also actors, because we're acting up there, too, sometimes, you know. And it's fun to be it's fun to act out a different part of yourself whenever you want to.
Yeah, that's good. What are some of the comedians that you like and that you watch that have made a transition over to movies and television that you really think have done a great job at that? You talked about Robin Williams. I mean, what an incredible personality
He
was. He had so many things going on. And he's so talented and also so conflicted, too, you know, as you read about him and some of the things that he had going on in his life. But to me, that's some of the interesting parts about comedy, is that people you have to be vulnerable. You're in front of these people and you're talking about, like you said, you like to talk about your life and you like to talk about your personal things and what makes you and you're unique. And has that always been easy to do, to talk about you and to let people, you know, kind of open up to strangers?
Because that's the way I connect to people and make them feel comfortable with me, because a lot of people, I've had people tell me that I'm intimidating, which I find kind of crazy because I'm so tiny. But they're always afraid of saying something to offend me or saying something wrong, and I don't know why they're worried about that with other people and just me, but I'll crack jokes and laugh and share certain things about myself to make them feel comfortable and at ease. And I've always been a very outgoing person. It used to drive my mom nuts, because I would talk to complete strangers and she'd be like, Wendy, honey, you can't just talk to anybody, they can snatch you up. And I'm like, what do you mean snatch me up? I'd never even knew that was a thing, you know what I mean? So then she kind of But I still did it anyways, because that's just my personality. I'm very open-minded. I'm very forthcoming, and you know, I've been told I wear my heart on my sleeve, so I'm empathetic. I'm an empath. So yeah, I don't have a problem sharing with people. That's something I've had that personality since I've been a child. So that doesn't bother me. I like to make people feel comfortable. I like to make people happy, and I definitely love to make people laugh. So,
well, my guess, that's awesome. My guest is Wendy Ferguson, and she's on Facebook, and it's WendiFurguson, I believe that's right, and Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Facebook, and Instagram, and
YouTube.
And what we'll do now, Wendy, is we'll take a music break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about some other things with you and comedy. And I got some questions for you, and it's just been really great talking to you so far. It's just been awesome. So let's play. This is a song. We're going to take a music break. This is Annie Rost. She is a singer from Schulenburg, Texas. And we've had Annie on the show before. This is The Next Chapter, and we'll be right back after the song to continue our conversation with Wendy Ferguson.
It's been an interesting read, this life of mine. A few twists and turns in the storyline. I've laughed and cried and almost died, but I still love the dance. A little bit of drama, whole lot of pain. Give me one good man and I won't complain. I still believe in good old time romance. Fairy tale or biography, only time will solve. About the things I've seen. Win or lose, I'll always take a chance. Fairy tale or biography, only time will solve.
Wendy Ferguson, you're listening to John Talk Radio. This is your host, John Darlington. We've been doing this for about 10 years, and we really appreciate the listener base that we have. And tell your friends about it. And Wendy Ferguson is my guest. So, Wendy, I was thinking about, you know, talking about your life and things like that. Do you ever get the opportunity to mentor, like, young people or people that want to get into comedy that think, oh, this is something I think would really be good to do? Have you ever had an opportunity to work with people? And the second part of the question is, how important do you think it is to work with kids that want to get into comedy, if young people want to do it, what advice would you give them?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I have had the opportunity to do some motivational speaking in front of some kids. I love kids. I have an awesome connection with kids. What would I tell them if they wanted to get into this? That it takes a lot of hard work and dedication. And if you put in the work, you will reap the benefits. And it's a wild ride and a good time. And be themselves. And don't let nobody take their voice.
Wow. That's really good advice. When you, I like that, that have your own voice thing. When you talk to kids that, like right now, there's a lot of things going on in the schools and with bullying and kids and this kind of thing happening. One of the things that, you know, I think is very important for kids to have confidence. And when I've talked to musicians, excuse me, that they work with kids to build their confidence. There are kids that don't seem to, they're not going to be a mathematician, Wendy. They're not going to be a Rhodes Scholar. But there is, everybody has a path that they should be on. And sometimes it takes them a while to get there. And they had to build that confidence up. And a lot of times when kids start playing music or get into art or get into comedy, they find their confidence. Is that something that you
Absolutely.
Think is very important? Is that something you think, Wendy, is missing in today's school and teaching kids? Maybe get a little bit off the normal path of like grades and testing and you're going to be this or doctor or lawyer, whatever. But art has to have a big part of that. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I totally agree. Confidence is super important and loving yourself and believing in yourself, because if you love yourself and believe in yourself, other people will. And I think the thing that angers me about schools today is they're so worried about meeting the criteria of standardized testing that they do. All these kids have to pass all these tests before they can graduate or move to the next level. And I think, I mean, although that's important, to me, I think reading is the most important. I'm a huge bookworm, and I think reading should be drilled into children's heads, because it can take you anywhere, and it's an escape. I could just go on and on about the importance of reading, but confidence, you're absolutely right, and I think they need to do some kind of testing, because we're all born with gifts. It just
right.
takes some of us a while to find what they are. We all are passionate about something, and we all get excited about something. And I think if a teacher or anyone notices this about a child early on, to please encourage that. And I think instead of placing kids in these boxes, inside the box, and do some kind of testing, because there's so many different types of intelligence. Just because a kid can't read well or do math well or do science well, I bet that kid can draw well or sing well or play by ear or make people laugh and feel good. I mean, I think there needs to be a bigger focus on things like that too, not just art like drawing or music class, but there has – I just wish they could find each child's niche. And I think a lot of kids get lost in the cracks. Because, you know, classrooms are so huge, and it's hard for teachers to focus on individuals, you know?
Right.
And when I went to school, that wasn't always so difficult. Like, you could get more help, it seems like, than you can now. That's just been my experience. But, you know, no, I'm not dogging the teachers or the schools or whatever. I just want kids to be able to find what they're good at, because a lot of them don't. And some kids, like I've heard several comedian stories, artist stories, where it just took that one teacher to believe in them and push them
oh, yeah.
and get them off and running. You know what I'm saying? And I love
oh,
those
absolutely.
Kind of stories. Yeah.
That's so good. I really like that, Wendy, because I think what happens is if a child fails at a certain thing, or they just can't seem to fit in with everybody else, but like you said, everybody has their gift, and it might take a while to find it. So when you're talking to young people and you're talking to kids about this, what are some of the advice that you give them when they're going to fail and they're going to have times where it's not going to work out? But if you have that dream and you have that, what are some of the steps that you help encourage these young people to say, hey, you know, life can be tough, it can hurt, but you got to just keep moving forward?
Right, exactly. I would tell them, once again, to have faith in themselves and believe in themselves and love themselves, treat themselves well. And, you know, and when you do all those things, I think we all have vibes. I think there's energies. And, you know, I have faith. I believe in a higher power. I believe in God. And I, like I said, we're all born with gifts. And I think I would tell a child just to believe. If you can see it, can have it. But it's not going to be handed to you. You're going to have to put in work. And I'm the big advocate of nothing is free in life, and that's true. And if you're willing to put in the work, man, you could go anywhere in life. I'm 2'10". I've never drove a car, and I've traveled. I've had the amazing blessing of being able to travel all over the United States, see places that I never thought I would be able to visit and get to. And not only did I get to see them, but I got to meet people and make people laugh. I also always had a dream to be in Sports Illustrated. I used to collect them, and I used to be a big, huge Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen fan.
Right.
And my mom used to complain about all these magazines all over the house. And I never told anybody this dream because I thought they would make fun of me because I'm 2'10", and how could I ever get into Sports Illustrated because I'm not an athlete. And I was always a big, you know, sports fan. Well, I got the opportunity to travel with MWF. It's Micro Wrestling Federation. They're midget wrestlers, and I open up their shows with comedy. And we got put into Sports Illustrated.
That's awesome.
And I'm 44 years old. I'm in Sports Illustrated, and I'm not even an athlete. I'm a comedian. One of my dreams came true that I kept to myself in my head and in my heart. And I thought, it's possible. It's possible, Wendy. Look what already you've overcome. You've went to, you know, you graduated high school. Get an education, kids. It's important. You do use things in school and life. That's no joke. Read as much as possible. Find what you're passionate about. Go after it. Gung ho. You will fail. But every failure that I've had, I've learned so much from it, and it's made me successful. So really, failures are not failures. They're just learning tools. They're bricks for your foundation later in life. So that's another way to look at it other than failure. And
yeah,
if I can do things at 2'10", anyone can.
That's great advice. What are some of the things that you would tell? Our show is broadcasting live right now, but it will be podcasted in about 5 minutes after the show. And a lot of people like to listen to the podcast, so we'll get that out there. But what are some of the things, if some young person, Wendy, is interested in comedy, what are some of your advice how they could get started? What are some of the ways they could do that? I mean, is there any paths or any programs or anything for young kids or for them to learn what the life of a stand-up comedian would be?
Well, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I don't know of any things. I would say if they're interested in doing comedy and they're in school, if they offer theater classes, improv classes, anything to do with acting, take them if you're interested in them. And then being a comedian, I say that because I wish I would have done it myself. Two is comedy is a lot of acting. It's not being fake. You're just enhancing your personality, I'd like to say. Mm-hmm. And it will help you in comedy. Improv will definitely help you with comedy. Right. I'm getting better at this myself. I don't like the right jokes, but you have to. There probably are comedy clubs that would be more than happy, like when they have nights where it's, well, usually it's 18 and up, but I'm sure there's comedy clubs that I go to that would make an exception if a child wanted to get up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
But I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that. You know, I'll have to, and if I find a place, I'll put it on my Facebook and share that with people. That you just made me want to learn something and find something. So I'll find that out, because that would be a great thing to start if there's not one around here, to get kids into comedy instead of other things, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think it would be so cool because, yeah, it teaches them, okay, like I've got all this stuff inside of me and I've got all these things I want to say. And now, hey, you got a chance. Get on the stage and say them. And what do you think about, about 14 minutes left. What do you think, and this is something you were talking about being a bookworm and everything, Wendy, and I grew up, my mother was a librarian, so forever. And I would go with her after school, and I would, one thing she would tell me, she said, okay, do your homework, which I never did, but she said, do your homework, and then you can read, and you can read anything you want. And she told me, I don't care what it is you're reading. You can go to any section you want to. But just if you have questions, ask me. And I thought that was one of the coolest things that ever happened to me, because I started reading books and I started reading all kinds of things. And I got, like you said, I went to worlds and places that I could never have gone growing up in a small town. But one thing my mom never – there wasn't any you can or you can't do that. Don't listen to this. Don't listen to that. She always taught me to use your own intelligence to like figure it out. You know, if it's wrong, why do you think it's wrong? What do you think of that? What with comedy right now and material, certain people say certain things that might be offensive to other people, but there's a lot of political correctness. I'm sure you're aware of this. There's clubs that will probably say, okay, Wendy, you can do this, but it's going to be a family-friendly show. Other will say, hey, say whatever you want. What do you think of that whole, restrictions on what you say or not, and then, like, being able to be adult about it and deal with it? I'd like to hear your opinion on that, like how material should be handled.
I'm always respectful of whatever the venue wants. I think as a society that we get offended so easily now, it's ridiculous. And especially people being offended in a comedy club, because just like us comedians, we never know what the audience is going to say to us. Well, the audience never knows what the comedian's going to talk about, and that's the chance you take when you buy your ticket and enter the showroom.
Right.
Me, personally, there are things that I will not talk about that I feel very strongly about or disagree with, and I don't talk about those things. If other comedians do, I don't have a problem with it. I try not to get offended because I know that's part of what comedy is, you know, people's opinions and their outlook on things, and who am I to say they're wrong or they shouldn't say that. I mean, I've heard some really, really racy kind of bad stuff, but to them it was funny, you know. I would never disrespect if they said, you know, don't say this word, don't talk about this. You know, don't cuss. We got kids here. Don't talk about bad material. We got children here. You know, I don't have a problem with that at all. I just try to be real respectful. It's, you know, I just say if you're easily offended, don't go to a comedy show. But, I mean, and I know that sounds kind of mean, but it's the truth, because that's our time. That's our platform. that's our art. You know, if you don't like to see naked bodies, don't go to an art exhibit that's playing naked bodies, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't like adult humor, don't go to a comedy show that has adult humor. To me, it's common sense, but people are taking it pretty serious nowadays, you know, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you said. It's like, to me, there was never any censorship with me and my mother was very into what I was doing, and she would say, okay, this is over here, this is whatever. But when you're talking about material and things like that, like Lenny Bruce and George Carlin, and these guys that would say things that would make everybody, it might shock you a little bit, but like you said earlier, Wendy, it made you think about stuff, you know?
Yes, taught us so much. George Carlin is so intelligent, and even though it shocked you and made your mouth drop open, some of the stuff that he said was true.
Yeah.
And, you know, and truth is hard to swallow sometimes. But he did it where he made you laugh. And even if you didn't laugh, you know, the light bulb went off over the top of your head. Like, he's got a point. Even though I don't like the way he said it, he knows what he's talking about, you know. Because I shock people, too, with some of the things I talk about. But they're like, wow, it made me spit my drink out, but it was hilarious. Girl, where'd you come up with that? And I'm like, well, really, you know. I mean, because you see me when I get up on stage, I'm 2'10". I look innocent as can be. And then the stuff that flies out of my mouth, people are like, oh, my gosh. But that's where I feel, and the odd thing is, I feel comfortable up there talking about it. But the time, and I made it funny, and comedy's been my therapy, too. You know,
yeah.
I work stuff out on stage. It's awesome.
It is awesome. Do you ever have people, Wendy, come up to you after your set and say, oh, why did you say this or what did you mean by that? I mean, are there people like that or they just kind of like let it go?
I've never had anybody. I've been fortunate and blessed that I haven't had anyone come up to me and say that offended me or I didn't like that. I've had people say I was shocked. I've had people say, oh, my gosh, did that really happen? Was that true? That didn't really happen, did it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I was there. It happened. You know, and or they'll say, was that true? I do hear that a lot. And I'm like, that was true. And, you know, it's usually people, you know, I've been fortunate that they always have a good time and they tell me I'm funny and I've not had anybody say they were offended yet. So, and I'm happy about that because I'm not out there to make people mad. I'm not out there to judge or throw daggers at people. I just want them to recognize stuff and I want them to have a good time. Maybe learn
That's
a little
awesome.
Something from me.
Well, Wendy, thank you so much. This has been really a great time talking to you. I really appreciate you taking your time.
Yeah, I had a blast.
To be on. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. What would you like to say in closing to people out there in general, maybe from the perspective of a comedian that a lot of folks maybe don't know? Is there something you'd like to talk, closing here about just Wendy Ferguson and comedy and maybe some great advice for the people?
First of all, thank you again for having me on the show. I had a blast. This has been fun. I would just say, you know, live life to the fullest. If comedy is something you want to get into, get on every stage you can. Do that 5-minute set till you got it memorized forwards and backwards, and you could do it blindfolded, deaf, or whatever. And just keep doing it. You got to get on stage. Practice, practice, practice. Go to every open mic you can get to. Have fun. Don't lose your voice. Love yourself. Be confident. Walk with your chest out. Say it with your chest. You know, just enjoy life and be nice to people, and don't ever be jealous of somebody's blessings because you might not be able to go through what they go through to get there. So, you know, just walk your own path. You fall down, get back up, dust yourself off. You know, keep doing what you love. Find what you love. Go after it.
Thank you so much, Wendy. Now, you're playing, when is it that you're going to be in Wilmington? That's in January?
Yeah, January 26th at Uncle Louie's. We have a great show, great comedians, great atmosphere. It's a good time.
Well, I'll try to go because it's not that far from where I am, so that wouldn't be that far for me to come and watch. So I'll be
awesome.
The guy way in the back, laughing and having fun.
the one that I should look for and be like, why are you sitting all the way away from everybody? Come on up here.
Yeah, make me come up to the front. Yeah, that would be good. Well, thanks so much, Wendy. Take care and have a great evening. And we'll talk to everybody later.
Thank you so much.
We'll talk to everyone later, and everybody have a great night. Good night.
Color me like a canyon. When the sun is hanging low down in the west. Color me like a canyon. And let the red and green and blues run down my legs. Color me like a canyon. Color me like a canyon and keep me in your eyes. Color me like a cottonwood tree on the driest days right before the monsoon. Color me like a cottonwood tree, looking brittle and broken, but I'm just waiting for the right amount of rain to bloom. Color me like a cottonwood. Cut holes with your razor blade to let the light shine through from the other side. Color me like the New Mexico. Like a canyon.